You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has opened its doors for another day, so it's time for the opening with Nick Kunzer from Sanlam Private Wealth. And yeah, we were just speaking off air, Nick, and I sort of heard a note of enthusiasm in your voice. I mean, it seems to me that you're in a very good mood. Is that because the market is in a good mood?
Yeah, morning, Lindsay. Yeah, back to normal. Yesterday was I was a bit grumpy. Yesterday was a news vacuum. You know, America was shut for Labor Day. It was difficult to, even though we had a positive day, volume was, you know, 40-50% under what we used to this time of year. But back today and back with a nice little bounce. I mean, some solid set of numbers we can touch on in a second coming out of our local market, which is really impressive. And ahead of what might be the worst GDP print in Cyprus history. That's due at 11:30. A lot of geopolitics to digest today. Lots of stuff going with Trump and China. We've got Barnier flying in, the ECB minister flying in to speak to Boris Johnson to finalize. I think this is their eighth meeting of Brexit. So quite a lot of moving parts. But on that backdrop, just some decent numbers out of local SA, which is quite encouraging, I think.
Yes, it is. It just shows the resilience of some companies and their ability to adapt. And obviously ShopRite is the one that stands out this morning on the Stock Exchange News Service. Tell us about those numbers. What did your morning meeting glean from these?
Yeah, so the guys were very impressed. I mean, we've been liking the share for a while, and we're not the only house. There's a couple of others that's saying that, you know, their new push into home delivery, it's called that. We spoke about it on the show, that 60/60 app, has been getting a lot of really good press and a lot of good press from my buddies as well, who are saying, if I tried this app, it's absolutely brilliant. And this has been going on for the last month. So they're really embracing this new world and you know, this idea of shopping from home. A couple of things to point out. I mean, they started to realize their wrongs their way. They're cutting a couple of their stores in Kenya on the Africa expansion that didn't work. And I think more importantly than that, I mean, coming out with a 6.4% increase in sales, a positive outlook saying they're trading ahead of where they envisaged at this time a few months ago, and declaring a dividend of R2.27. So not many in the South African retail or South African space can say they've got enough cash to pay a decent dividend, increase revenue, and have a positive outlook. So 3 out of 3, and reflected straight away in the share price. If you say these markets are efficient, stocks up 8.68%, now R126.60. So really good numbers.
Well done to them. How much has it contributed to the earnings? Because it seems to me that perhaps it's just a sign that they're good at what they do and they are adapting, but it may not be that meaningful. Did you crunch the numbers?
No, so that's not in the detail yet. We still have to go through all of them. There is a conference call later this afternoon, which we'll be dialing in for, so we'll be asking those questions, and we can discuss them on your show later tonight.
One of the reasons Aspen Pharmacare was under so much pressure was because it got a little bit ahead of itself, if that's a kind way of putting it. It bought too much and therefore took on too much debt. That has been rectified over the last year or so, and again with an announcement this morning. Again, this is a good news story, I think.
Yes, it is. And I'm going to repeat what we said a few times on the show. Once again, you know, you've got to hold it to management who are doing what the market asks. They got themselves ahead of themselves, exactly like you said. They got far too much debt on their books a few years ago. They've realized that, and whether the bankers sort of held a gun to their heads or not and said they needed to be sort of lighten up, they're too close to their debt covenant. So I get it's a feeling of both. But anyway, cut a long story short, the positive side is they've been doing what they've said they were going to do, selling off non-core assets, cutting that debt pile. And this morning, coming out with an announcement that they'd agreed to sell their property and commercialization rights of Aspen for their thrombosis drug to a company called Mylan, which is based out of the States. It's generic thrombosis. But a really monster transaction. I mean, talking about an upfront payment of €263 million in cash, and then another deferred payment of €378 million. Bottom line is, was about $680 million, either dollars or euros, coming in. I mean, well into the billions. If that's the case and that payment comes through, which for all intents and purposes will, you know, this is worth about, my calculation is about R22 per share, the size of this deal.
Wow.
Before this, it was R60 per share. This cuts their debt piles down by about 40%, which is a much more palatable amount of debt to manage. And I think it's really good news. And then once again, I mean, as you said, these markets like the story, look where the share price is, up 7.7% today, 144. It must be said, Lindsay, this is, though, ahead of their earnings announcement, which is due.
Thursday, isn't it?
Which is unusual for – it's tomorrow. So it's tomorrow. Unusual that it's after the close. So we'll know the numbers on we know what the market thinks when we open on Thursday morning.
Yeah, I've got Stephen Sard booked for Thursday morning. That's why I thought Thursday.
Excellent.
Yes,
look forward to that.
Yeah, he's a good chap. He went through a bad time. He got very grumpy. You said you were grumpy yesterday. Stephen Sard with me in one interview got very, very grumpy when I asked him a couple of telling questions, which is very unusual. And it sort of told me that there was something not quite right at the company, and he was a little bit irritated either with himself or what was going on. But anyway, that doesn't matter. I'm sure he's going to be in a much, much better mood when I speak to him later in the week. Okay, let's have a look at these spot prices. The dollar rand is under a little bit of pressure at 16.80. That's a third of a percent weaker for the rand, that is. The British pound against the rand is 22.07, and the euro rand is 19.85, with the euro dollar 118.15, which is exactly unchanged. Last night in the United States, the market was closed, of course, but the Dow Jones futures this morning are, I think they're up a couple of hundred, aren't they, Nick?
Yeah, really strong. I mean, at one point we had the S&P's up almost 0.8%, which at 13.444. It's pulled back 10 points, but it's still indicating, a strong start after the Labor Day holiday.
Very good. In the Far East, we've got Tokyo up 0.8%, Shanghai up 0.75%, Hang Seng is flat, and the all share in Sydney is up 1%. The gold price is 1931. My screen says down 22, but I think that's inefficient. I think it's reflecting yesterday. What is the gold price?
Correct, it is. It's actually up almost $3. But put that in perspective, when I wrote my morning note this morning, it was down $5. So in the last few hours, it's really got a bit ahead of some quite big geopolitical events today.
Yeah, talking about geopolitics as I get another screen up. Mr. Trump was in a terrible mood yesterday. He was really bombastic, and he was really nasty. I don't know if his Kentucky Fried Chicken didn't arrive on time or something, or his Diet Coke was too warm, but he attacked everybody.
His bucket of Ben and Jerry's didn't arrive or wasn't frozen or something.
Yeah, exactly. But what was he saying? Because he seems to be using the China relationship as a political pawn to galvanize his base, as they say.
Very much so, and really quite strong comment, stronger comments, Lindsay, than I've heard in a while, and that's saying something.
Yeah.
I mean, he basically came out and he was continuing to pressure China's tech firms. He was speaking about he wanted to convince the rest of the world to never deal with China tech firms, and he said he wants to block all Chinese tech firms worldwide. He mentioned the idea of decoupling from China, i.e. he said we do not need China, the second biggest economy in the world. We can do fine without them. And he refuses to do business with the company. And then, of course, China out this morning is now accusing the U.S. of bullying. It's just launched a global data security initiative today. So, I mean, that rhetoric really, I think, stepped up a level last night.
Yes. It's disturbing because, you can sit down around a table, but you don't attack China like that. Not being a student of Chinese culture, what I do understand is that face is very important, and you have to be respectful, and you can't put them down, and you can't make them lose face, if you see what I mean.
He was very condescending, and I mean, he went on to speak. I'm just picking up some highlights here. He went on to say things, or lowlights, went on to say things like, we are no friends of China, and China are no friends of us. I mean, how we got to this point, we know he got to the point. We elected him 4 years ago, but it really was quite was a bellicose. Is that the correct word?
Yes,
like saber rattling.
Probably is, exactly. And we've gone from that famous beautiful chocolate cake quote from Mar-a-Lago when President Xi was a guest of his in a meeting, and Mr. Trump said how well they got on, what great friends they were, to this point where they hate each other, or rather he hates them. It's very, very,
very
disturbing behavior. I don't understand it. Anyway,
it is.
Okay, crude oil is down 2%. West Texas, that is, at $38.95, down 82 cents a barrel. And Brent crude is $41.90, which is down 0.25%. So there must be some sort of futures month nicety going on in between them. But anyway, crude oil, because of the Saudi news a couple of days ago, under pressure once more. Where's Palladium and Platinum, please, Nick?
Yeah, they also got a nice bid. They were down also this morning. So Platinum is currently up 0.8%, $8,915, back above that $900 per ounce level. And Palladium continuing to push near its all-time highs, up almost a percent, $20, $2,320 per ounce on Palladium.
It's not that far away from all-time record highs, is it? I mean, what was the $2,500, $2,600, I remember a few months ago.
There, yeah. Certainly closing in on that level.
Very good. Top five moves on my 15-minute delayed screen. ShopRite, as we've already referenced, up 8.75%. Aspen up 7.3%. Brilliant moves there. AECI coming in with a 3.2% gain. AVI, after their results yesterday, also receiving some attention, 3.2% to the good. And Mr. Price up 2.75%. On the downside, Impala Platinum down 3.1%. Harmony down 1.8%. Stenprop down 1.7%. And African Rainbow Minerals down 1.4%. So we've got a big day today. We've got GDP coming out in an hour and a half's time, something like that. And yes, as you rightly pointed out, a few shenanigans going on overseas. And one of them is the Brexit deal, because Brexit has suddenly knocked coronavirus off the front pages for a while anyway, with the UK walking away if there's nothing on October the 15th. And that seems to be the inference.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the price of gold at the moment. Yes, it's bounced back. It's positive this morning, but I thought it would be a lot stronger. I mean, there's been some quite significant move in certain asset classes. The Rand was 16.70 this morning. And you just referenced it now. It's now almost 16.80. So that's just weakened by 10 cents in the last hour. I think people are very worried about those GDP numbers. We're looking for expectations of an annualized contraction of 13%. Those numbers will be due out in the next 2 hours at 11:30. But, I mean, I've seen some numbers, some what they call the whisper numbers, closer to 18, 19% contraction, which is, it really is dire. We had some GDP numbers out of Japan, lowest since the Second World War. And then, as you referenced now, I think there's some real risks ahead for today. I mean, Marco Barnier, I mean, he's in London. This is the eighth round of Brexit talks, Lindsay, the eighth. to try and finalize this divorce agreement, what they've got. And I've been trying to get my head around the Northern Ireland agreement and a few other things.
I don't understand it.
Problem. I don't understand it. You took the words out of my mouth. I actually went through it quite diligently to try and answer a few questions for some clients, and I'm none the wiser. But those Brexit talks resumed today, and these agreements, right, bearing in mind where we are in the year, they have to finalize all those agreements. Someone told me it's like 1,000 pages of agreements. Yes. They need to agree on all of those by the end of October.
October the 15th, I thought it was. But anyway.
Is it October 15th? Sorry.
Yeah.
So thanks for correcting that. I mean, that's in the middle of October, that has to be done. If that's not in place for this post-Brexit transition, which expires at the end of the year, that's it. They exit with no agreement. So,
I know.
So the sterling's been a little bit weaker. The last few days. It was 133, 134, remember, last week. It's back at 130, 130. So it's come back sort of 300 basis points, which is quite a decent move. But I don't know, Lindsay, I just think that all of a sudden it's quite as – with and then when you throw in with Trump and elections on the 3rd of November, all of a sudden the next few months there's a lot of potential speed bumps ahead of us. But we've been saying this. Yeah.
I can tell you something. I got a call last week from the immigration people in the Netherlands, which has never happened before. They phoned me up and said, hello, Mr. Williams. I said, fine, how's it going? I'm sorry. Send us your bank send us some bank statements, because you know, with Brexit coming up, we need to ratify whether you can stay in the country or not. Which sort of sent a chill down my spine, because, I mean, if Boris and his boys and girls don't get something sorted out, and there's no common agreement for people like me living in a European country with a British passport, then I don't know. I might be coming back to stay with you and your new wife for a couple of weeks.
Sleep on the balcony. No, it is interesting, hey, because, I mean, I've also got a lot of buddies of mine that I used to work with in the UK who have sort of country houses in Provence and Tuscany and all the rest around the world, and will certainly spend a lot of time in Portugal. Is quite popular now because of the strength of the pound. And they also got question marks going, well, what does that mean? What does it mean for all these people that have second homes? And do they have to have visas every time they go across? You know, so there's a lot of unopened questions. And I don't think – there's another agreement I saw when I was trying to figure this 1,000 pages out, where they were speaking about Rolls-Royce engines. And Rolls-Royce supplies the majority – I mean, they pretty much supply almost every single engine that flies in the sky is a Rolls-Royce engine. That's their big model's aviation. Mm-hmm. Now, if they don't get an agreement in place when it comes to sort of servicing these engines, no one can service the engines after this agreement falls apart. That's it. It's like every plane in the sky. And there's so many things that I can't get my head around. It's like, wow, this is really quite serious, this thing.
Oh, gosh, I feel terrible now. Anyway, we mustn't
dwell. I've just got grumpy again this morning.
dwell on these things, Nick, comes to thinking. Oh, no, give us the indices after 52 minutes of trading, please.
On this Tuesday morning, we have the FTSE All Share up just 0.1% on the JSE. 35 points, 54,428. Top 40 tradables, slightly higher, 25 points, 50,200, still holding that level. And then it doesn't tell the true story. I think it feels a lot better than it looks with the numbers. But healthcare, having a great day with the likes of Aspen, that index up 4.58%. Industrials, 2.5% firmer. Financials having a good day. It's even despite the weaker rand, 1.58% firmer. And the downside, energy is leading us lower. That's Sasol, that's down 0.5%. The index down 0.4%, and then basic materials, also the miners not having a great session, down 0.5% as well.
Nick Kunzer, thank you very much for your time. That was the opening. Nick Kunzer is from Sandland Private Wealth, and he'll be back with myself and David Shapiro for the 5 o'clock shadow just after five. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.